War might not always be inevitable, but according to David Levere, the Tuscarora War that started in 1711 was pretty close to an accomplished fact.
Every colony went through one of these big wars between the Indians, and this was North Carolina's turn.
David Levere is the author of The Tuscarora War, Indians, Settlers, and the Fight for the Carolina Colonies. The first official blow in the war was struck by Indians in September 1711 when they attacked European settlers on the Neuse and Pamlico Rivers, killing at least 140. The match was likely struck weeks before.
When New Bern is created by Baron de Graffenried and he brings about 300 or so German and Swiss settlers and plops them down, that's Tuscarora territory. And so Tuscaroras and their allies are getting crowded out. And so all these things together finally just, it was, they snapped. And I guess the spark is that when Surveyor General John Lawson and Baron Christopher de Graffenried go up the Neuse River scouting for future lands for their settlement, that the Indians see this as provocation. And they're captured, put on trial. It's about a three-day trial, and finally John Lawson is executed. You know, once you execute a colonial official, I guess you might as well go all the way, and right after that the war starts.
With that and the subsequent attacks on settlers, it at first glance put blame for the start of the Tuscarora War firmly on Indians. But Levere says as there were no innocent Indians, there weren't innocent settlers caught unaware of problems with their native neighbors.
But there were a lot of abuses by settlers. Indians, if they were caught hunting out in the settled areas, risked being murdered or at least being beat and having their guns taken from them, having their game taken from them. Merchants and traders would go out and abuse Indians in their town. They would rape Indian women. They would beat up Indians. They would get them drunk and take their hides from them. And Indians complained about this.
The Indians also came up with unique solutions to try to ameliorate problems the European presence imposed on them.
John Lawson, in his 1701 trip across the Piedmont, talks about this. And he talks about where you go to these villages, that they would be met by these young women, good-looking young women, called the trading girls. And these were women whose essentially job it was to take these European men who came in and essentially symbolically marry them for the time there. And they would provide the services that a wife would provide, you know, cook for them, but also have sex with them. And in return, these Europeans would provide their families with goods, trade goods, and things like that. But the trading girls was a very recent phenomenon, and the Indians brought it about as an adaptation to these Europeans, because as these Europeans, their idea is that Indian women are really just hypersexual, nymphomaniacs, and are free for anything. And so you start having respectable wives and respectable daughters being raped by these Europeans who just think that all women are lusty. And if you beat up these Europeans or kill one, that could bring dangerous repercussions from South Carolina or North Carolina. So they created trading girls to siphon off, to redirect this European lust. And so it's Indians are having to deal with things like that, where this Europeans come in and we can do whatever we want to do.
But the biggest grievance North Carolina Indians had was the Indian slave trade. For decades, South Carolina had seized Indians, friend and foe alike, to work in sugar colonies on Barbados. But enslaving friendly Indians caused obvious problems, so Levere says South Carolina had wars with enemies to fuel their slave trade, wars which could bleed into their northern neighbor.
African and African-American slavery was only really getting started, and the first slaves were Indians in South Carolina. Took Indian slavery to new heights. They would arm their allies, these Siouan speakers like the Catawbas and the Wateries and the Santees, and send them out across the American South to take slaves. And from about 1675 to about 1715, it was a horrible time to be an Indian in the American South. Because who knows, when suddenly attack a peaceful village and kill the men and take the women and children captive and march them back to Charleston, and then send them off to Barbados or keep them in South Carolina or even sell them up into New York and Pennsylvania and North Carolina. And so the Tuscaroras complained about this. And why, if we're allies of English North Carolina, why are the allies of English South Carolina attacking us? Why don't you do something about that?
The European presence had changed the view of captives amongst the Native Americans. When wars had been fought before, few captives were taken, and they were often essentially adopted into new tribes. Now, with the Europeans having goods the Indians wanted, captives were a trade ship. So with the changes in their lives and the enslavement of their people, war indeed may have been inevitable. And like the other wars fought between other Indians and other colonies, the colonists would ultimately win. But for North Carolina to win, it required outside help.
North Carolina was probably the poorest colony of the there was only 12 colonies then. It had at that time no deep water port, so which really hindered commerce. Also, it was heavily divided. It was not a united colony. And by what I mean by that is that there were in the colony Quakers who refused to take oaths, who didn't want to pay taxes to support the Anglican Church. You also have these kind of contrary settlers that had kind of come out of Virginia. They don't want any kind of authority. They don't want to pay taxes. They just want to be left alone. And then you have this other group of these proprietary men, these men who are part of the British Empire, who do want North Carolina to be seated in that empire.
Because of this divide, the North Carolina governor requested assistance from South Carolina. Most battles were a stalemate, but finally in March 1713, Colonel James Moore led an expedition against Indians in Niharoka, which led to a crushing defeat for the Tuscaroras, killing about 370 and enslaving nearly 400. Skirmishes continued until 1715, but for the most part the events in Niharoka near present-day Snow Hill brought the war to a close. For South Carolina, it brought an immediate financial windfall for its slave trade. For North Carolina, it brought a halt to the war and ultimately allowed a westward expansion.
Up to this time, the Tuscaroras were the strongest, most militant Indians in eastern North Carolina, and they more or less acted as a court, preventing settlement out to the Piedmont, but also preventing settlement down into the Cape Fear. And then after this war, after they're broken, the Indian power is broken. Now you quickly have settlement to the Piedmont, settlement to the Cape Fear. And really this, if you want to call it the frontier or this line of settlement, quickly moves out where then they start after dealing with Catawbas, and not long after they'll start dealing with the Cherokees. But this was the big war, the big colonial Indian war for North Carolina, and you know, eventually the colonists always won, and it just really broke the back of Indian power in the East.
David Levere is a professor of history at UNC Wilmington and the author of The Tuscarora War, Indians, Settlers, and the Fight for the Carolina Colonies, published by the University of North Carolina Press. I'm George Olson.